Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks.
They go New York, go New York, go. On the fourth floor in Morris 94, and the Knicks are hardcore, and I'll tell you like this, we ain't never looked sharper. With Hubert, Bonner, Gray, and Harper, it's the Knicks, and we're back on pace. Everyone's gearing up for the championship race, and the fans are going crazy, and they're doing it for a reason. Cause 94 is the Knickerbocker season. You better believe the Knicks got all that cake. We're shooting three-pointers, and we're running fast breaks, and if your defense makes a mistake, then bam, you ain't dunks in your face. This is a team you don't wanna miss. We are New York. We are the New York Knicks. Go New York, go New York, go.
Go New York, go New York, go.
Say go New York, go New York, go.
Go New York, go New York, go.
Say go New York, go New York, go.
Go New York, go New York, go.
Say yo, bust it. All you hear is a swish. Threes by Stark and dunks by Smith. And no rebounds if that's the case. We put Oakley and Mace in your face. We draw charges and we set picks. We are New York. We are the New York Knicks. Say go New York, go New York, go.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to a special Sunday night edition of Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. I'm, of course, William Amo. What's up, Mac? What's going on?
Hey, man. Good. How's it going?
I'm doing good, man. New York, stand up, man. Go New York, go New York, go.
Oh, yeah.
We got lots to talk about, so we're gonna talk about the Knicks. The Knicks finally getting their Philadelphia freedom from the 76ers finally after that long six-game series. We're gonna dive right into that. We're not gonna waste any time. Talk about that. We'll preview the Pacers series coming up, renewing our old rivalry. We're gonna talk about that. We'll give you our thoughts on how the Mets and the Yankees are doing. The review of the WWE Backlash pay-per-view event in France from yesterday. The Rangers right now as we speak, 3-1. I should say 3-2. We'll give you our thoughts on that. They're facing the Carolina Hurricanes, but we'll dive into that as well. And of course, we love to hear from you. You know, the number is 563-999-3529. So that's 563-999-3529. Let me say that one more time. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk about any of these topics or more. We love to hear from you. So happy Cinco de Mayo to the Mexican people and everybody who celebrates it. Thank you for tuning in and checking out the show. But without further ado, let's pause and talk a little NBA basketball. And of course, we're talking about the New York Knicks. And I got some, I want to say to all the 76er fans, Philadelphia 76ers, acknowledge me, Knicks, because you guys are talking all that smack, all that trash. And now you guys bought a ticket to your team's funeral. The owners from the past and the present and the future, 76ers had to put all their money to buy tickets because they finally realized after all those decades of having a rivalry with the Mets, the Knicks, the Giants, the Rangers. Now they see the true power that the New York sports fans possess, that they had to go through drastic measures to try to regain their home field advantage, their home court advantage. They had to go that far to buy the tickets because the Knicks fans, they found out the hard way that the Knicks fans true New Yorkers wear orange and blue. That the Knicks fans are diehards. Most of them are diehard fans that have went through the dark times. Of course, you know, when a New York team has success, you're going to have some people jumping on the bandwagon. That's life. New York Knicks, man, that is the only team in this city that unites every fan of every sport, every fan base. Whether you're a Mets and Yankee fan, whether you're a Giants and Jets fan, whether you're a Rangers, Islanders, and Devils fan, the one constant that we can all agree on, with the exception of a few, you know, Brooklyn Nets fans, you know, but for the majority, we stand up for New York Knicks, man. We unite when it comes to the New York Knicks, and that's been for decades. Like, we stand up for the Knicks, man. And in 70 and 73, we were awarded for our fandom. Three straight NBA finals and loss, unfortunately. The 70s with Clyde and Willis and those iconic players we had at the time. You know, we got those two titles, unfortunately. And then afterwards, and of course, in the 80s, you know, we had, you know, Bernard King, the emergence of Patrick Ewing, the 90s Knicks, all those hard-fought teams that got their dreams snuffed out by Jordan and Olajuwon. And then at the tail end of that, you know, Reggie Miller and the Twin Towers of San Antonio with David Robertson or David Robinson, I should say. And, of course, the birth of Tim Duncan's career. And then the final nail on the coffin, 2001 Toronto Raptors team beat us in five. And I've told this story before on this show, but in case this is your first time, you know, listening to the show, or you've been listening to the show and supporting the show since 2009, I should say. You know, again, thanks for the support. But yeah, just a little recap. Yeah, 2001, man. I thought that, you know, I was young at that time. You know, I thought the Knicks, you know, I didn't, you know, obviously, you know, we lost Ewing, but I thought, you know, because of the New York Knicks, you know, we would be able to, you know, bounce back. Even though we lost an all-time great player, you know, I thought the Knicks would, you know, with their grit that was embedded in their DNA since the league started, what, 1946, 1947 or so, would find a way to overcome, you know, this obstacle and you know, finally win a title against all the odds. But that 2001 team against the Raptors, they upset us in the first round. And I remember at that time I was thinking, okay, I'm going to remember this. I'm going to remember us getting knocked out of the first round, because next year we're going to come back and we're going to shock the world and win a title. I'm still waiting for that upset. And little did I know at that time, that was the beginning of the dark times. Following the next year, 2002, like a couple of games into the season, Jeff Van Gundy saw the writing on the wall, and he, you know, he quit. And then that started the whole carousel of Don Chaney, Larry Brown, what was the name of that guy that coached? Lenny Wilkins, all these different guys who would bounce around. And then of course, you know, we got Marbury around, you know, at that time. Then of course, you know, he was gone. Then we had Melo, you know, we went to the playoffs a few times, but, you know, we still, with the exception of that 2013 team, when we had Kidd and Tyson Chandler, that was like the only decent team we had since 2001 until the emergence of Randall a few years ago. And then we got Brunson, as we are speaking to you right now. And now there is the renaissance of the New York Knicks, thanks to the Villanova Knicks, with Brunson championed the way with his former college teammates, Dante DiVincenzo, and of course, Josh Hart. they formed that trio, forgive me, I'm losing my train of thought.
You're Jamaican.
That one title, what did you say, my friend?
You're Jamaican, trio.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I'm gone, man. But seriously, we you know, they took their success from Villanova, and they brought it to the Knicks, man. And everybody counted us out, man. Everybody said, oh, the Knicks don't have a star player. Then when Brunson finally fulfilled his destiny being an all-star this year, when they denied him all those couple of years when he was in a Knick uniform, they denied him his status. They didn't put respect on his name. They were waiting for the other shoe to drop. But Cinderella is still alive, ladies and gentlemen. Cinderella is alive and well. And the 76ers, they did everything they could, man. Joel Embiid, phenomenal player. Maxey, phenomenal player as well. But we saw something in Embiid that we never saw Embiid. And I'm not talking about, you know, the unfortunate Bell palsy. I'm talking about him being dirty, a dirty player, man. You never see him lose his cool like that. He's been 10 years in the league, and you never see him, you know, like he had to turn heel to try to beat us. Down 0-2, then he pulled his best Mark Messier and Joe Namath. He guaranteed a comeback for his 76ers. He said they were going to come back. They were going to win in six, that they should have been up 2-0. So guess what? The Knicks dominated at the Garden, which me and you saw firsthand, game one. Knicks did what they had to do. It was a hard-fought classic series. No doubt about it. But we did what we came out to do. We won. We defended home court. Then the 76ers, one of the most passionate fan bases in the game, in any sport, they found out the hard way that there are fanatics like the Philadelphia fans, and there are fans that bleed the orange and blue. So those Knicks fans, they took their tickets, they took their cars, their transportation, and they went down to hostile territory in Philadelphia, the city of no brotherly love. And we won game three. And then what's his name? Embiid was complaining how the fans, you know, that he's been in the league for 10 years and he never saw anything like this. And then he put the 76ers fans on blast that they didn't show up. But it wasn't that they didn't show up. Give the 76ers fans credit. They showed up. But the Knicks fans showed up and showed out. And the Knicks fans, they took over the city and turned it into Madison Square Garden South and dominated. And then, so basically, in short, you know, even though Embiid did all those, you know, all those crazy, you know, dirty plays, injured Mitchell Robinson, Bogdanovich gone for the rest of the season, all those stuff, and it still wasn't enough. And credit the Knicks, they could have won you know, in game five. Had no excuse. There was no excuse for them to blow that game. 28 seconds left into the game, 6-point lead. They give up. Mitchell Robinson gives up a 4-point play, which the NBA the day afterwards says he should have. He traveled, and that point should have never counted. But too late, too little, too late. It became the Maxey show. Maxey took over. And you know, props to Brunson, scoring a career high 47 points, a franchise record 47 points, you know, in a Knick uniform, passing Bernard King. Not to mention he had 47 points and 10 assists. No Knick point guard has ever done that. And then, of course, the last three games, he scored at least 39 points in those games to make the Knicks win the game in, you know, this series in six. So props to the Knicks. And now we're going to face the Pacers. And most importantly, Mac, I want to hear your thoughts on what you think about this past series.
I mean, this series was a hard-fought series between both teams. It was a war, an all-out brawl between these teams. And most of these games were close. And most of these games came down to the end. And game one, you know, was a battle. Embiid got injured there in that game one. The Knicks ended up pulling that out. Game two, you thought the Sixers were going to win, but we managed to score 6 points. Six big points, you know, in those final seconds there to win that game. And then you had that maxi shot in game five, you know, that helped the Sixers stay alive. And then this final game, game six of this series, where, you know, it's Knicks came out strong, had a 20-point-something lead in the first quarter, but then Knicks ended up playing one of their worst quarters of the year in the second quarter, which led to the Sixers come back and gaining the lead. The Sixers even had like a double-digit lead, you know, in the third quarter there. But the Knicks, again, came back like they've done all year behind Brunson, who's been phenomenal, you know, throughout this postseason. I think Brunson became the second player behind Michael Jordan to average like 35-plus points or something like that in a playoff series. And also, I forget how many assists he had, but in that last game, I think he had double-digit assists as well. And I think he had back-to-back 40-plus games in a few of those games, right? Jalen Brunson did.
He had three back-to-back 39-point games plus the you know,
didn't he have a 40-point game? He had a 47-point game.
Yeah, he had the 47-point game. That was game, what was that, game?
Okay, he had 41, 40, and then 47. Okay, yeah, that's the stat. I think he became the first place in Michael Jordan's to have the three games of 40-plus points in a playoff series. I think that was the stat, I believe. But he's great, man. I mean, he was great. Even though at times where his shot wasn't falling, he was finding ways to – get teams involved, going through the free throw line, keeping us close. He was definitely the X factor, as he should, because, you know, with Randle out, he's the only guy that you can rely on to score. But I also give a shout-out to DiVincenzo, who's been struggling all series long, but he showed up for that final game, and OG Anunoby played some great defense in that game six as well, and he helped out as well offensively, including that monster dunk and one that he had on Embiid in that fourth quarter. But yeah, this was one of those old school '90s grinding hard fought series, you know, with the Sixers. And Sixers might be our toughest test because right now we're gonna face the Pacers tomorrow night. Pacers love to run and gun. They score a lot of points. But they're not as they're not a good defensive team like the Sixers, and they don't have guys that are scary like the Sixers, like Embiid or Maxey. So, you know, the Knicks might have an easier time with the Pacers than they did with the Sixers. But we shall see what happens tomorrow. But yeah, this past series was an all-out war, and I'm glad that we were able to win it and advance. But yeah, I never want to see the Sixers again, and Embiid.
Oh yeah. Yeah, man. Now, you know, now we just want to wish the 76ers, you know, a nice trip, and we'll see them next fall. We don't want.
Good luck.
Yeah. You know, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. So,
yeah.
We'll see you. Now they're talking all that smack. And not only have two words for them. I only have two words for them. Well, actually, I have three words for them.
Mexico City?
No. I'm gonna show you. I'm gonna let you know right now. Acknowledge me, Knicks.
That's three words.
Yeah, that's all they got here.
That was three. That was
I said
three
two,
words.
And then I said three. I did say two, but then I corrected myself three in mid-sentence.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was going to say acknowledge me, but then I remembered acknowledge me. Not even acknowledge my Knicks. Acknowledge
just acknowledge Knicks. What do you have to do with it?
No, because Roman Reigns says acknowledge me. So I'm saying acknowledge me Knicks.
Or what about acknowledge my Knicks?
No, I'm keeping the line, the catchphrase, acknowledge me, and I'm just putting the Knicks to it.
Acknowledge
this ain't,
me.
This
Knicks.
Ain't grammar school.
Yeah, no, but I'm correcting the grammar.
This is
I'm correcting
school.
The grammar. I'm sorry, I got the English major in me still. So, but yeah, okay, we'll go with the acknowledge me Knicks.
You know, because that's what he says, acknowledge me. So I'm keeping the continuity, even though yes, it's supposed to be acknowledge. My Knicks.
Should be acknowledged, but acknowledge me Knicks. It sounds like you're saying for the Knicks to acknowledge you. That's how it comes off. But I
no,
digress.
No, then I would say Knicks, acknowledge me. And that was the case.
All right.
I'm talking about the 76ers. So 76ers
yeah.
is in the rearview mirror, and now we got to focus on the Pacers, a rivalry we've had. Oh, man, especially in the 90s with Reggie Miller. You know, Reggie Miller had the huge game where he scored, what was it, 8 points in 8 seconds, you know, to the chagrin of, you know, Spike Lee and all the, you know, diehard Knicks fans out there. And this rivalry is renewed. As of right now, the Pacers have won four out of the seven playoff series that, you know, we had against them. So now the Knicks, you know, we got to even the score.
Yeah, should be a good series.
And it starts tomorrow night, and we gotta keep Haliburton in check, you know, which we couldn't do to Maxey except for the last game six of the first round. But yeah, we gotta stop Maxey and
Haliburton.
We gotta keep. What did I say?
Maxey.
Oh, I said Maxey. I said Haliburton. My bad. But yeah, like unlike what we did with Maxey, you know, we gotta keep Haliburton in check, and you know, of course, you know, stop Toppin from you know, high flying on us, trying to get his revenge on us.
Yeah.
And of course, you got Siakam also.
Yeah, the Pacers, they're a high-scoring team, so we definitely have to stop them from running in transition. They love to run. And they love they play at a faster pace. So we got to lock them down, just like we did in the Sixers series. So, but I like the Knicks. I give the Knicks the edge because of their defense, and they're a good rebounding team, which the Pacers are not. So and defense wins championships, so I think the Knicks – we'll take this series in six.
I think the Knicks will win in five, but I definitely wouldn't be surprised if we win in six. But, yeah, this is a classic series, and the winner of this series, the Knicks and Pacers series, will be facing the Celtics or the Cavaliers. After Donovan Mitchell and the Cavaliers knocked off Orlando Magic, and you know, so that's who we'll potentially face in the next round if we do advance. But yeah, it's a good time to be alive, you know, as a Knicks fan. You know, it's a long overdue. It's a good time to play at the Garden.
Oh, yeah, and you got the Rangers playing well as well. They're in the second mm-hmm. round, and right now they're leading 4-2
yep,
against the Carolina Hornets.
You you sensed the segue. Yep, you're right. Rangers, I was just about to shift gears and let's do it. Rangers, they are leading right now. Game one. They're leading 4-2. And right now there's 1 minute and 50 seconds and counting. The Rangers should hold on to the lead. They look like they just gave up a goal, so now the Hurricanes are you know, now trailing by a goal now. So the lead is 4-3 now, 4-3 Rangers. Player of the game right now should be is Zibanejad. You know, he has 3 points, scored 2 goals, got an assist. Trocheck scored a goal and also has an assist. So hopefully the Rangers can hold on, you know, as we speak. And Shesterkin, he has 19 saves. So, or should I say 17 saves. And you know, hopefully he can hold on to this lead right now. Right now, this is the second round of the playoffs, and the Rangers swept the Washington Capitals last week. So now Rangers is hoping to hold on and get a commanding, you know, 1-0 lead in the second round of the playoffs. But, you know, congrats to them. Hopefully they can hold on to this victory. Right now, it's 1 minute 47 seconds left. You know, we'll keep you updated on that.
And MSG is making making some money right now.
Yeah.
You got the Knicks advancing in the second round, advancing in these playoffs, the second round right now. Rangers, they're in the second round. The Garden is making some money, some major money. Dolan must be soiling his pants.
And now, I mean, the Garden has been making a lot of money, you know, because the Knicks fans have been showing up, you know, the Knicks and Ranger fans have been showing up. But now with them actually playing well,
yeah,
you know, and now they're finally getting that playoff money.
Oh, yeah, both teams.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, the Hurricanes advanced after beating the New York Islanders in 5 games. So the Islanders, you know, fans have to wait another year, you know, since they're during their dynasty run in the 80s. So far the let me see what's going on here. Are they replaying the third goal? They're still replaying that one. All right, so there's 57.6 left into the game. But in the meanwhile, I guess I'll shift gears, talk the Mets. The Mets, you know, they couldn't do Mac a favor, man. And unfortunately, the Rays put the boom on the Mets. And the Mets fell in extra innings by the final score of 8-7. The Mets, man, they were abysmal, man. They were playing like crap. They need Pepto-Bismol. So what can I say? The Mets, they allowed 7 stolen bases. And they lost by the final score 7-6. They had 1-run leads in the 9th and the 10th. The 9th inning with 2 outs. Randy Arozarena hits a solo bomb, tie the game up against Diaz. And then in the 10th, the Phantom Runner and a Bader misplaying the ball, a hard hit ball. Bader misplayed the ball, and the tying and winning run scored. And yeah, what can I say?
Can't rely on the Mets if your life depended on it.
Well, welcome to my world.
You guys couldn't even help us by just winning one game.
We can't even help ourselves, man.
God.
When we score, we can't hit. And when we hit, we can't score. Signs of a bad team, man. What can I say? Diaz, this was Diaz's first save opportunity since April 15 because they keep bringing Diaz in non-save situations. And then afterwards, you know, he throws like 20, 30 pitches in a game. And then afterwards, they can't use him the next day when they have a save situation.
Crazy.
Yeah, this is Diaz's first. That was Diaz's first save opportunity since April 15th, almost a month officially a month ago.
Wow.
And this is, I mean, what can you say? This snapped his 26 saving streak, straight, you know, save streak that he had, and. It obviously just goes back 2 years ago because, you know, he missed the whole season last year. But, yeah, man, the story of the game, you know, what can I say? You know, the Mets, they had a 2-0 lead with Lindor hitting a 2-run home run in the first inning, no less, which is Lindor's 6th home run of the year. But yeah, I mean, there was no highlights in this game. Severino pitched good. He was in line for the victory. Well, I can't really say he pitched good because didn't he walk like 6 people, if I'm not mistaken? Yeah, he walked a career high 6 batters. I mean, he had a. What can I say? Yeah, he kind of had a wild outing. He went 5 innings. He gave up 4 runs, 6 strikeouts, 6 walks. I mean, he was in line for the victory, but this was not like Saturday's game. Saturday's game, Christian Scott, the Mets' top pitching prospect, he had a good game. Yeah, he went, I think he went 6 innings, if I'm not mistaken. I think he went 6 innings, struck out like 7 batters or so. Yeah, he pitched well. Unfortunately, the Mets couldn't score any runs. So, you know, he got a no decision, and then the Mets end up losing and, you know, late in the game. But I mean, it is what it is. I mean, what can you say? And then the game one, Friday night, Mets was losing 9-3. Mets, you know, the game, the final score went to like it was 10-8, and Pete Alonso, man, he's lost. You know, he was in his hometown, but he couldn't. Yeah, man, he couldn't hit the Pacific Ocean if he dived. I don't know. he went diving off of, you know, I don't know. I can't even come up with an analogy. Just, you know, if he was Michael Phelps, I guess, but in any case, you know, what can I say? The Mets are slumping. Mets are slumping, and it looks like the Rangers are going to. Looks like they're going to hold on to the victory, and the final score is 4-3 Rangers. The Garden is buzzing, and yeah, the Rangers have a 1-0 lead over the Carolina Panthers. So, you know, keep it up, Rangers. But shifting gears to the Yankees, and you know, the Yankees won, so that was a big part of it. And yeah, I mean, what's your thoughts on you know, the state of your Yankees?
Well, after losing 3 or 4 to the Orioles, Yankees come back and sweep the Detroit Tigers and win this series. They won today 5-2. Judge had a home run, and Judge has been playing well these last 3 games. You know, he was struggling for a bit and was batting under 200. It looks like he's found his swing again. So he's been hitting a home run here and there, and he's gotten his batting average above 210, 215. So hopefully, you know, this could lead to big things for Aaron Judge for the rest of the year. Rizzo has been playing hot. He had that game-winning hit on Friday night when we were watching the game together.
Right.
And he had a 3-run home run yesterday. So he's been playing well as well. And the Yankees, you know, they have a good record. They're 23-13. But offense has still been a bit inconsistent this year. At times, you know, they can't hit. I mean, in that Orioles series, they couldn't hit a fly. You know, the series before that, they scored 30 runs in the last couple games before the Orioles series. And then once they go to the Orioles, they can't hit for some reason. So this offense has to find – there has to be some consistency with this offense. I mean, pitching has been good all year for us. You know, I think pitching has kept us in a lot of these games. I can't say enough about Stroman, you know, how well he's fit in, you know, to this pitching staff. And then we hope to have Gerrit Cole soon, you know. So, yeah, I mean, right now, you know, the record is looking good, but I feel like we could play a bit better. I mean, once the offense is more consistent, I feel like we can be in the top of the league, you know. So, but yeah, got a good series win for the Yankees. I think they're right now 9-2-1 in a series this year, which is great. They've only lost two or three series, not bad. So,
and another thing, the Tigers, they're now 3-13 at Yankee Stadium since 2022.
Yeah. Yeah, don't come around here again, Tigers.
Mm-hmm. Yankees teamed the Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Soto got a big hit off a...
Acknowledge me, Tigers.
And, Soto got a big hit, you know, off a...
Actually, in your words, Tigers acknowledge me, Yankees.
But yeah, they got a big hit off a bases clearing double off a tough veteran, Andrew Chafin. I mean, that dude, he's always been rumored to be going to the Mets or Yankees, but yeah, Soto's having a monster year with the Yankees.
Yeah, he's having a very good year, as expected. So hopefully it continues.
Mhm. And when it rains, it pours. And as a result, you know, the game got, you know, suspended and then, you know, ended, in the eighth, with the Yankees having, you know, with the win 5-2.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been raining day all day. So.
But yeah, we're gonna take a quick break, and we'll be back with a little WWE. We'll be right back. You're listening to Sports Urban Legend. I'm William Ramon, and he's Macaulay Matthew, and we'll be right back after these messages. And I guess, you know, I guess for the 76ers, the Pacers, I guess, you know, your Tigers, the Tigers you face, I guess you can all acknowledge me. But, yeah, we'll be right back after this break. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to Sports and the Legend. I'm William Amo, and he's Macaulay Matthew. And, before we go into WWE, talk about Backlash, our baseball teams we were just talking about before the break, they have some tough schedules coming up. The Mets, they're going to be facing the Cardinals, the Braves, and the Phillies this upcoming week, while the Yankees, they're going to be facing Astros, who they kept in check earlier this year after years of being dominated by the Astros. So that's, they're renewing the series back at the Bronx. The Yankees are going to get their revenge on the Rays, you know, for the Mets. And then, of course, the Yankees are going to be facing the Twins. So, yeah, we're
not getting revenge on you guys for nothing. Keep dreaming on that. You guys didn't even get revenge for us. What are you talking about?
But, yeah, we'll see what happens with we'll see what happens this upcoming week for both New York teams. We'll keep you posted. But
should be a good matchup. Yeah, the Astros matchup will be great. I mean, we swept them at the beginning of the year, so hopefully we'll do it again.
Right.
The Astros have not been playing good this year.
It's kind of like the Warriors. It's like it might be an end of an era.
Good. That's good.
Speaking of ending an era, now we're on to the WWE Renaissance era, you know. And right now, you know, Cody Rhodes, you know, he's the new champion that, you know, after winning against Roman Reigns, which, yeah, today's been a Roman Reigns-themed show, now that I think about it. But, we'll talk more about the bloodline, in a minute or two. But yeah, Cody Rhodes, you know, he defeated Roman Reigns to be the undisputed WWE champion. Let's dive right into the new bloodline. Kevin Owens and Randy Orton had the first ever the RKO show. And basically, they got attacked by Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga at the end of the show. They finally had their match. Kevin Owens and Randy Orton lost to Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga after Tama Tonga's brother popped up. I think his name is Tama Loa, something like that. Let me make sure I get it right. Surprisingly enough, he used to be in WWE as Camacho. He used to be tag team with his brother, I think, in New Japan. He's Tanga Loa. They're both the sons of Haku. He made his WWE debut, shocking everybody, because we were expecting Jacob Fatu to make his anticipated debut in WWE. But that hasn't happened yet. Tanga Toa attacked Kevin Owens and Randy Orton and helped his brother, the MFT, get the victory. So yeah, what was I gonna say? So as a result, Tama Tonga and Solo Sikoa, they got the victory in a street fight. Bayley defeated Naomi and Tiffany Stratton to retain the WWE Women's Championship. Damian Priest defeated Jey Uso to retain the World Heavyweight Championship. Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill defeated the Kabuki Warriors, which is, of course, Asuka and Kairi Sane, to be the new women tag team champions. So congratulations to the ladies, and Jade Cargill winning her first title in the company, in her third ever match with the company. So congrats to her. And last but not least, Cody Rhodes. You know, he retains his title, the Undisputed WWE Championship, after, you know, defeating AJ Styles. So, yeah, what's your thoughts on the pay-per-view? You know, it took place in France yesterday.
I didn't catch it. I didn't get to watch it, unfortunately, but it sounded like it went, it was a good pay-per-view. Doesn't seem like it was a great pay-per-view like the WrestleMania was,
mm-hmm.
but also doesn't sound like there was many upsets all, as well. Yeah. So I don't know what to make of it, actually. I guess it was good.
Yeah, I would say, you know, basically the French crowd, you know, is what elevated this card, because this card, you know, it, you know, on paper it's okay, but the French, you know, fans were really, you know, up to it, because they they normally don't have a pay-per-view event like this.
I guess it is for you know, Europe. Mm-hmm. It's having WWE in Europe other than the Middle East, or, you know, Saudi Arabia, you know. Yeah, I guess it was a good event. And, by the way, there's it looks like WrestleMania is going to be in Las Vegas next year.
Oh, yeah, I heard that rumor that's going to be in Las
Vegas. It's official. Isn't it official? Yeah, that's what I heard.
I heard Undertaker talk about it on a show, but I'm pretty sure, you know, he has the inside scoop.
It comes from yesterday.
You're probably right, because they did have the
WrestleMania 41 to be held in Las Vegas on April 19th of 2025. Yesterday confirmed.
Yes,
Minneapolis
right.
was close. Minneapolis lost mm-hmm. the bid. They could have gotten it, but they're just gonna have to wait a bit further.
Yeah, you're right. It is official. Yep. So most likely we're gonna have Rock versus Roman Reigns at Las Vegas on April 19th or the April 20th, you know, so that should be a big pay-per-view event. And most likely Cody Rhodes will still have the title. But, if I'm not mistaken, I think on AEW, Kenny Omega returned, and he got beat up by his former friend, The Elite, if I'm not mistaken. Let me double check for that. Well, yeah, not to mention CM Punk cut a promo on Drew McIntyre on Raw.
That was on Friday?
No, that was on SmackDown. I mean, not SmackDown, Raw.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
They attacked, the Elite attacked Kenny Omega 1 week after they attacked the owner, Tony Khan. But, CM Punk cut an epic promo on Drew McIntyre. When CM Punk's healthy, man, that's going to be a great feud, renewed.
Oh, yeah.
And Jessica Carr, she made history. She became the first woman referee title match at yesterday's Backlash France event. So, you know, congratulations to her.
Yeah, congrats.
And she wrote on social media, you know, that she's honored and incredibly grateful. So, you know, congrats to her. But Yeah, I think that's about it. I think we covered pretty much everything. Anything you'd like to say before we head out?
Everyone, enjoy the Cinco de Mayo. Enjoy the rest of the day. Check your local listings for my show, iMac, and come back here to check out Sports Urban Legend. Every Saturday is at 10. Actually, 11.
11.
Only on Block Talk Radio.
Yep, you heard the guy. You know, come back every Saturday is at 11. Check out Sports Urban Legend. And, you know, we'll give you our thoughts on how the series against the Pacers are going. Hopefully the Knicks will be doing damage, you know, in America's heartland of Indiana. So, and of course at the Garden too. So we'll keep you posted on that. Hopefully Rangers are, you know, continuing their dominance. You know, obviously they won one game right now. So hopefully they could win the series against the Carolina as well. So we'll keep you posted on what's going on in the world of sports and entertainment. And, so, again, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you all for checking out this special Sunday edition of Sports Urban Legend. He's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramon. I'll see you guys next week. Peace.